What's in your thoughts? Oh, what's in your mind? What fills your head and what leaves it behind? It's too much today. It's too much today.
Listeners, and welcome back to Filling in the Gaps Rerolled. We hope you had some great gaming since the last time you listened, and if you're new, welcome to the table. We are Filling in the Gaps Rerolled, and we may not be an actual play podcast, but we are a podcast that hopes to help you actually play. We're three DMs who create stories and sessions based upon two randomized tables, one of themes, one of scenarios, using two D20s. It's a great way to get the creative juices flowing and to work out those DM muscles. So with that, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Malcolm, one of your hosts.
I am David.
And I'm Mambo, the third host here.
Joining us for this very special episode is a very special guest.
It's me. Hello. I'm Jacob. Jacob Buds from XP to Level 3. I make videos on YouTube. I live stream on Arcane Arcade and Twitch sometimes. And I do a variety of different things. But that's mostly what I do is make nerdy D&D videos on the internet. Thanks for having me, guys. This is so exciting.
I'm glad that you're excited, yeah. And I have seemingly lost the question I was going to ask, because I opened the wrong document. Isn't that just how life goes?
You just start reading, like, just some random thing.
Basically.
These are my tax write-offs. This isn't the podcast.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, speaking of that, David, actually, that's perfect because it lines up with a question I found, which is, what's your favorite trope of RPGs, like, that you like to put in your RPGs, right?
Okay, so I really like putting a lot of tropes in RPGs. I think that the more tropey your game is, the more fun it is, and a lot of people don't think this way because everybody wants their games to be super unique and really fun and super interesting, but I found that the more, like, tropes from media and movies and stuff like that I put in my games, the more I feel like people really like the game. I think my favorite trope in general is I really like just a really evil villain. Just like, there's not really a reason why he's evil. He's just really evil. And it's like, you just gotta stop this evil guy. Cause I think that's fun. I think it's fun for players to just be like, you know what, that guy? Screw that guy. We're gonna destroy that guy. And I think that's a lot of fun.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think my favorite is, like, whenever your players come up with a really convoluted scheme when they're trying to figure something out, and that's not at all what you planned, just to change it to match what they said. It makes your players feel smart, it cuts out on some of the background work you have to do, and it's...
Totally agree.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
Now, does putting Mambo number 5 references count as a trope? Because that's what every game I have.
What? I mean, it's your trope. I mean, you basically made it your trope now.
Yeah, so one of my evil bad guys that my players are about to meet is called Lou von Begovich. Off of Strahd. So okay. I can't wait for that. He lives in Mombrovia. It's gonna be fun. I also just like, you know, doing like the comedies of like the three slapstick stuff for my my games. I think I actually have something called the trope troop, where it's just a whole bunch of different tropes that I set up my players and they're like, God, just stop.
I think, yeah, there's a lot of really cool tropes that you can throw into D&D games. And I think it really helps streamline your games, especially what you were saying about the puzzles or generally that's how I can think about puzzles sometimes. And a lot of DMs do is they just kind of go, here's a weird thing, like this door won't open. And then like the second or third thing the players think of, it's like, that's the solution, you're so smart. And it's like, we are smart. And it's like, no, I tricked you. So I think
it works every time.
Exactly. So but I think there's a lot of like, when I'm writing for my games, I really like to go into like TV tropes sometimes and just like find tropey things. Because when I was first starting and I was writing my games, I was like, whoa, this is gonna be so weird and wacky and they're never gonna expect any of this. And then my players would just like point out certain tropes, and I think players just kind of naturally did that. And they were like, oh, this is from Lord of the Rings. And it's like, yeah, well, okay, I'm just going to give into this. Who cares? And I think they have more fun with it because as soon as I just give in, and I'm like, this guy's basically Gollum. And they're like, okay, that's fine. You know, I'm not going to call him Gollum, but I mean, he's going to be a Meazel from the Shadowfell, and he's like crazy and he hunches over. I actually did that in one of my games. And they were all over it. They loved it. And I think it's because it's easy for them to understand. It's easy for them to kind of connect with it because they already know what it is. Because really nothing you're going to make is original. And that's, you know, everybody knows that. So it might as well just give in and just be like, what trope can I use today? You know, what I think it's fun. I think it's really great. So do you guys use a lot of tropes in your games?
For me, when I first made my first world, the whole idea of it was I inherited it from my friend who was DMing before, and he was like, okay, yeah, I'm done. And I was like, but you ended the world basically with the apocalypse. And he's like, yeah. He's like, so if you want to like start a new thing, I was like, no, I want your apocalypse world. Because I was like, because if I could have it be that every, I was like, you have all different walks of life reacting to the apocalypse. And I was like, and I can make every genre happen in this. I can make Westerns happen because there's a group of people who are like, local law enforcement's what we got to do. We limit magic. We keep things down. We have a bunch of geniuses come together and go, I have some ideas to make basically cyberpunk. We have it was so perfect because I was just like, this is so but with that I was like, it's got to be the most movie heavy trope reference that thing that like there's got to be stuff where people see it, they're like, I get what this is. So they're not just like, oh, I'm being thrown into like something and I'm like, oh, it was a Western at the end. It's like, no, you get that, you know, the whole time.
Yeah because it almost becomes like difficult to imagine in your mind without the tropes, you know. And I think that's why people get scared of them, because it's like, oh, they're samey. But what's cool about it is it really can help your players. I do it all the time. I describe things from movies just constantly now in my games. I'm always like, oh, it looks like that thing from that one movie right here. Like, you know, or it's like you see a gemstone and it's red. It basically looks like an infinity stone. And the player's like, oh, now I know. And it's like, there. See, it's not hard. It's fun.
All right, with that out of the way, gentlemen, shall we roll?
Let's do it.
I have dice ready. I don't know what's about to happen, but
I will be rolling for scenarios and
I'll be rolling for themes.
And our lovely guest, you'll be rolling an advantage, so we'll have two combos for each table. And then
Jacob, you can pick which of the combos you want to pick from.
All right.
Today I'm rolling my lovely metal dice. They're blue with a gold outline, and I rolled a 12 for the scenarios table.
I'm rolling a red, black, and green dice that reminds me of watermelon, and I rolled a 15.
Let's see what those stack up to.
So, is it me? Do I go? Am I rolling now?
Yep.
All right. Yes. So, and I'm rolling two.
Yes.
Okay. And because you guys described your dice, I'm going to describe mine. Well, I really like green dice because green's like my favorite color. And I have like this metal one that's going to do horrors for the audio. And it's like green and silver. And then I have this other one. It looks like, do you know like sealing wax before it's wax, you know, while it's solid? It looks like that. It's all like swirly and sparkly. It's beautiful.
Nice.
Okay, I'm rolling them.
Oh.
I have rolled an 18 and a 7.
Let's see. So that's going to be... So for our themes, we have the options of zero gravity combat from me, but more accurately, my friend Rob recommended that, but he didn't have a Discord or a Twitter at the time. So he was like, he was like, you should fight in zero gravity. And I was like, oh, I'll put that on the list. And the other theme is A Day at the Races from Flare Gun Fish and Warly Can. So we got two recommendations on that one.
Cool.
And for scenarios, we have Factory with Conveyor Belts from Warly Can and Don't Sleep from, I'm going to butcher this, but Magnus?
That looks right.
Magnus?
All right.
So, Jacob, you can pick one theme and one scenario. Oh,
okay. Zero gravity combat sounds great. and Factory with Conveyor Belts or Don't Sleep? What does Don't Sleep entail? You know what? I'm not going to ask.
We're going to figure it out.
Don't Sleep. Factory with Conveyor Belts is a little more straightforward. I'm picking the easy ones. So, Zero Gravity Combat and Factory with Conveyor Belts.
Okay.
Okay. So when you think of, and any of you three, when you think of factory with conveyor belts and zero gravity combat, what kind of comes to mind for you?
Why would you need conveyor belts if you have no gravity?
It's zero gravity combat, everybody. It doesn't have to be you're fighting in the factory.
I kind of have an idea of like an elder brain using like its minions to like craft something as like a get rich quick scheme. And when you go to fight, it like puts on psychic powers that you have to like fight, you know, bouncing off of these conveyor belts and such.
So what if it's like, what if it's like a factory where like all of the walls and the ceilings and the floors are dangerous, they're acidic, and the whatever that is being made, I like the idea of like that elder brain thing. What if everybody who works there, whether it be like some kind of minion type creature, they have to go through like this barrier that casts like a levitate spell on them, so that it's basically zero gravity, because that's how the levitate spell works, is you're like a balloon, you just kind of float around. So So they have to be in midair, kind of pushing, not maybe like buttons, but like making the entire factory work. But they have to levitate. Otherwise, if they touch any of the floors or the walls or the ceiling, they'll die. I don't know why yet, but that's an idea.
And this very much reminds me of like a Willy Wonka X type scenario.
Yeah,
but like the elder brain is Willy and like red caps or something like that, or like the Oompa Loompas. And it's just like mass producing something. I can't think of what, but like
there you
mass go. Producing dark energy just to keep things going.
Mass producing dark energy. I think that's great. I like the idea of like it's like an elder brain or something, and it's created like this. It's like insane or something, and it's creating like this factory of like something like dark energy, but like it has these weird rules for like every room. So it's like nobody can touch the walls, nobody can touch the ceilings, so everybody must float their way through like this dungeon. And so like if adventurers were to show up here, they would just be floating everywhere, and it would be a fun way to kind of like go about like that kind of encounter, because they're not used to that, because you have like swimming rules and all that, but there's never really anything there for that.
I mean, rules. Talking about tropes, you could bring in the game The Floor is Lava here.
That's what this is.
I was about to say, you could have some like molten walls. You could have it be really hot instead of acidic, and then just have it be like you can't touch any of the walls, the ceiling, the floor. It's like, no, maybe the conveyor belts are the way you move in the factory.
Okay.
So it's like it's the only way if you touch the ground.
That, yeah. So oh man, I'm just trying to think of stuff. What would be fun if like there were different rooms that were creating different things, and they needed different chemicals from different materials. So like there's a lava room, and then there's an acid room, and then there's like a frozen, it's like a freezing room. And if you touch the walls, you get like, you get stuck like in A Christmas Story. So you just have to float through everything. But what reason would some elder brain need to have these rooms just covered, smothered in this elemental kind of thing? That's what I want to figure out.
Is it like maybe protecting eggs or something?
There you go, yes! Oh my god! That's exactly it. So each little egg needs to be in a certain type of environment.
Maybe that's what the factory's making.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, what if it's like packaging up these eggs in like toys or something to spread across Faerun? So like, so like as they open up these gifts, their kids get infected with the Mind Flayer tadpoles.
No. Yo, wait, is this Krampus?
Oh my god, it's like weird zero-G Krampus. Oh man. And they have to go to Krampus Factory in order to stop him. And they have to destroy all the eggs. Ew.
I love this.
The eggs they like eventually fall off of like the ceiling and the walls. They land on conveyor belts and keep going.
Well, the conveyor belts have to be how you get around this factory, because while you're levitating, you're not really touching anything, and you don't really control where you go. So you have like a handle on a conveyor belt that you grab to go from area to area.
So the conveyor belts for the workers, for the people. But that makes sense.
Well, I feel like the conveyor belts can also take the eggs too, because they have to go out at some point. So maybe that's your way, like through the rooms. Maybe that's the protected section. Mm-hmm. And if you go out, you have to like float around, or you will hit the hot lava or the icy cold or whatever it is that the eggs are being produced.
Oh man, that's great. And then what you do to make this even worse is you fill up the you fill up the entire dungeon with like kobolds or something, some kind of monster. But they can all cast Thunderwave.
Yes.
Oh, and they just blast you into the walls. And the players will just be mad. They'll be like, why did you do this to us?
This is just Super Smash Bros. Yes.
You can have the Elderbring cast Mage Hand to move all the workers around too, if you want that giant glove in there.
Oh man.
But if you want to keep it with like the Krampus theme, I think Red Caps, like those are like the evil gnomes, right?
Yeah.
So you could just have those guys there, and then you could have the Thunder Wave going, and
there you go.
I think that'd be so funny.
Wait, so you're saying there should be hands? So like some Big B hands are going around to different rooms?
Yeah, and just moving the workers around.
And Crazy Hand. Yeah. And we got the walls.
Because the Elder Brain can cast Wall of Force too. Oh. It knows that spell, so that would work perfectly.
That's crazy.
Smash Super Smash Bros. Krampus Factory.
That's the name of it. That's what we created. It's incredible.
I love it, though.
Super Krampus Smash.
Oh man, I'm gonna put that in a game.
I'm in for this.
So dumb.
You found the point of these episodes.
Yes. No, oh, man. And if you need help wanting to know how much damage the walls or ceiling or anything should do, there's an area in the Dungeon Master's Guide that has like tables of damage. And based on like your character's level, you could just do that kind of damage if they fail a save or half as much. So like if it's the acid room, they take, and they're like level 10 or something, every time they touch it, they could take like 5d10 acid damage or half as much if they succeed a constitution save. And then the lava, they could just die. I don't know.
I'd kind of follow Mortal Kombat rules when it comes to the acid. If you're like sunk into it, it's bye-bye character.
You're a skeleton now. Oh man, that's great.
So what if we're treating this like a factory, rather than needing all these eggs to be in different types of eggs, what if they're just being treated with the elements so that they're now resistant to it?
Oh.
So as your egg goes through the acid area, it becomes resistant to acid. And so they're basically building the ultimate mind player.
Yeah.
Ooh, I was about to say, what kind of thing would you think it would have to be? But to make it that the mind flayers are finding ways to make better mind flayers? Oh, man. And then the fun part is, later on, you get the homebrew and throw that at your players later and be like, here are some of the mind flayers that go off.
So I think that the eggs are like ready to hatch too. So, but as soon as they get taken out of each environment, or if they're hatched or anything, then they attack. So the players are having to destroy these eggs, and these things are coming up. They're resistant to the wall, so they can like crawl and like get hit by it. And then while that's happening, you have whatever guards this place. Just say it's kobolds, magic druid kobolds who have Thunderwave prepared, and they come in and they just start blasting everybody. So each room is going to be like the wizard probably has like fire spells prepared. But as soon as they get in the lava room, they're screwed because like the creatures in there are like immune to it. So they have to come up with different. And what's cool about that, I love this about encounter building, and I think a lot of DMs should do this, is you're making your players think a different way when you're constantly throwing different things at them. So the most boring combat you could ever make is just a flat field and nothing's there, and they just fight the stat block. That's all you're doing. But as soon as you add like little things, like all the walls are lava, and also you're getting thunderwaved, and also each creature is resistant to a different type of damage. You'll force them to think differently about each situation, which is cool. Or knowing players, D&D players, they'll come up with one really good solution for every room. You're like, well, that, okay. They'll be like, oh, we'll just, we'll just throw grenades on everything. And it's like, when did I give you grenades? Oh yeah, like 5 games ago. That's right. You know?
When we were in a completely different setting, when grenades would not help you at all, and I thought it would be funny.
Exactly. What are those hippo things?
Gifts.
Don't they have grenades? Gifts. Don't they have grenades?
I think so. I can double check.
I don't know. They have guns, so maybe I just think if you have a gun, you have a grenade.
Oh, man.
Okay, but I kind of want to focus a little. We've got the factory setting down.
Yeah, that's done.
And we've got a bit of the zero gravity down, but zero gravity combat. So how would we really make sure that they fight in zero gravity?
Okay, so there's swimming rules, but it wouldn't be that. It would have to be like, oh, now I'm going to be diving into the book now.
There's like travel on the astral plane where you use, I guess your intelligence or wisdom modifier to determine your speed.
Okay, so you will yourself to go forward.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
it could be part of that.
I kind of like that.
So the annoying part, though, is that it could be that if it takes place in the astral plane, which it totally could. or if everybody has the levitate spell on them, they're kind of screwed because they have to get themselves through with the conveyor belt. So the conveyor belt's like their only form of progression forward. Mm-hmm. So what you would want to do is you would want to have like doors in between every kind of like room. And once it's like an old video game. As soon as everything's dead, the door opens or something. it sets off like some security system. Maybe there's keys. I don't know. But
you got to have the keys from Doom. Like you get your red key for the fire room and your green key for the acid room.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you just give them in a random order and they're like, what is the green key for? And you're like, you'll find out. I think that what would be fun, what you can do with levitate is you can like, it's like it being in zero G. You can push yourself off of walls and fight mm-hmm. things. So a player could, push themselves off the conveyor belt to go fight something, but then they would have to find a way to get back without landing into the walls.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you could be nice and give them rope before they go.
There you go.
I
mean, that's a good idea.
Like a general like adventurer's pack, I mm-hmm. think, right? Is that there's like 30 feet of rope and all. I've known so many people who are like, rope's super useful. And other people are like, why am I going to use rope for? I'm an adventurer. I have a sword. Never know, we might need rope. I don't know.
You could also have that if you have a druid in your party, they could use wild shape and turn into a bird or something to mm-hmm. help move them along.
If you're under the effects of levitate, can you use your normal flight?
I was about to say, you could maybe become like a snake or something. Like,
yeah.
that would probably be... No, but you need friction. So if you were a bird, you'd like fly, but you'd be like way too fast. You'd just be like, this is how I... You'd just be like... And then you just fly straight to the wall. So I think the way that you could do combat with this would just be, first of all, you got to almost ignore a map at this point. Well, I guess you could if you could map elevation. Isometric D&D map. No, but you, I think the best way that you could do combat with this would just be, you would want to have multiple conveyor belts. So you should have like one in the middle and then one in the, then like four on like the walls. I'm imagining like boxy rooms. And like there's, mm-hmm. there's conveyor belts going through the walls. But there's like doors so you can't get through them all the way and you would have to unlock them in order to continue forward. Maybe there's a password in each room and the guards come in and if they find out what the password is, they can go through the doors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm overthinking this.
No, this is exactly what this podcast is. Our podcast is basically, let's overthink a session. Just made
two sentences into oblivion. That's great. It's great. So there you go. So every room is locked, but they have to get a way to get the guards to come in. Maybe they're kobolds, so they're dumb. So they come in mm-hmm. anyways, and then they watch them put in the password or say the password, whatever the word is, and then they learn it for that room so that they can progress forward. But you would have four of them going from like the top corners and then the bottom corners and the one in the middle, so they could like jump between them and like push off of them to fight other things in the middle of them.
Yeah.
But also they're getting thunder waves, so they're constantly they're balancing moving between these conveyor belts while also trying to fight while also trying to stay away from the walls.
I think it's fun if these kobolds are not immune to the walls, so you get to have that's why these conveyor belts are here. But there's also got to be creatures in these rooms mm-hmm. which either like generate the lava or just are there because of it, so those will be the creatures immune to it that mess with you from the walls.
I like
but
that.
The kobolds use the conveyor system to do their jobs and kind of process these eggs.
Okay, so what kind of creature would create lava on a wall?
You could just do like a lava elemental, maybe, like create your own.
Okay. Or it's just a creature. It just works. It's like under mind control or something. And it just walks right around and just smothers the walls. It's just like a janitor, basically. All right. There you go. Oh, and the players could kill it if they wanted. And then maybe they could like free up an area of the wall. Like it would like drip off or something like that.
This would be a place they could rest.
Yeah, yes. There's something called a lava child that pretty much just does that. It's born from lava, mm-hmm, from the fire elemental plane, and mm-hmm, it's a combination of earth and fire. So, like, if you have children, a couple of those guys just under the control of the elder brain, and they're just like, it's kind of like Heat Miser, to be perfectly honest.
There you go.
Wow, that's cool. Is ugly.
Who is planning on putting all of these creatures in presents to give to the rest of the world? They're going to be like, oh, gift. And it's like, surprise, it's mind control.
Wow, this is the best gift I ever got.
And it's cold flavored. And it's like, oh.
It's my favorite. Oh, mind control. It's my favorite gift. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Krampus. No, my free will. Yeah, so, okay. So the players would eventually get to the end of it, probably really beaten up by the end, and they would just have, like, a warehouse full of these gifts, and they would have to, like, destroy them. So mm-hmm, you could have, like, a boss battle at the very end, where, like, the levitate probably wears off by that point, because levitate lasts 10 minutes. But, you could mess with the rules, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah. I always do that. There's runes or permanent like objects in the room somewhere that are like making it last longer.
Yeah, there you go.
So that way it's...
But not immune to dispel magic. Dude, how funny it would be if it was like, I'm going to dispel magic elemental and everybody falls.
Straight into the lava.
But you could get to the end and there would just be all like these like wrapped eggs and you could have like a couple of them like come out and the players would have to fight them, but there would be like fire ones and cold ones and acid ones, and they would have to fight all of them at the same time. So they would mm-hmm take everything that they learned from all the past rooms and put them together to try to beat all of them, which could be something really cool and interesting, or it'll be grenades.
Those hands that have been flying around for the elder brain could be picking these up and just throwing them at you.
Yes, there you go. And they could fight the hands if they want to. I don't know.
Yeah, we have to have Master Hand be at the end. I mean, because we can't... I don't know if you can fight, like, an elder brain as a, like, physical fight. So you have the elder brain. Does an elder brain even need to be there? Like, yes, it needs to be in this campaign, but does it need
It could be out of that area. It could be somewhere else. It could be, like, who cares? It could be halfway across the world. Can it? Or is an elder brain, like, limited? Like, it has to be nearby.
It's got, like, a 5-mile... I mean, in the official rule book, if you're going to go by that, it's got a 5-mile span of its territory where it controls everything. Hmm. Normally, it's in, like, a giant glass jar and like this dark water brine. What is it? It's
Super Metroid.
Dimly glowing brine pool filled with foul and brackish water infused with the elder brain's vital fluids and psychic energy.
Okay, but this elder brain is crazy, right?
Yeah.
So what if its brine is like something weird? It's like Pepsi.
It's eggnog.
It's eggnog! Big brain sitting in some eggnog. Oh,
so this episode could not be more perfect as I slam my hand into my mic because I'm running a one shot for Bardic Inspiration tonight, and like this is it now I'm doing this.
There you go. Well, you could have the elder brain at the end. I think it would be good because you could have some satisfaction at the end of this whole thing, just be like, ugh. And also it's fun to explain that to your players. Like they get to the end and it's like this big boss room, and in the middle there's like that jar in the center and it's just yellow liquid, and then there's just a brain in it. But it's so thick they can't see it, so the hands come over and they just start throwing gifts
the
everywhere.
Brain moves around a little bit like it's me, hello.
And then they're like, what's in that giant glass? And then like it just comes forward, and like right at the beginning it's like
I just see it as like they enter in, like, so the way I picture is like there's the one room they enter has like the four corners have like different colored doors. So you have like the yellow, like a yellow door, a red door, a blue door, a green door, and like a door in the middle. And the middle door, after they get all keys, enters into the final boss battle. But when they enter, it's this nice cozy room. There's a fireplace with a fire going. Milks and cookies are there. A giant like Christmas tree that could be like a tringant or something if you want to add on more. If they get through like the other parts really easy and you're like, what the hell, guys? So you throw in like a treant, like a Christmas treant there, and then all of a sudden they see this giant like you said yellow liquid jar.
Oh, God. Oh. To add to that, going through this whole thing, all these eggs have to be like pure white, and as they get infused, it's like sprinkles. So they're basically taking a white cookie or egg and decorating a cookie for the whole thing.
There you go.
And rather than just changing the color, they'll just look patterned based on whatever elements that they've been infused with.
Yeah. So, what if each room is, like, food-themed then? So, like, the fire one is, like, chili flakes, and, the cold one is, like, peppermint, and then you have an acid one that's, I don't know.
Gingerbread?
There you go. You could do that. Yeah. But way too much ginger. It's just so acidic.
It's so terrible. Yeah.
My sinuses.
or pickle-flavored candy canes.
Oh. Those are a thing?
What? No.
Yeah. It's on a Target. I was like, oh.
What in the hell? Pickle-flavored candy canes. I'm getting these. Are you kidding me? Amazon for $10? Buy now. No, they're not in stock until December 10th. Why are these out of stock? Who's buying these?
They're at Target. Who's what buying the hell? Them? Target doesn't sell. Like, Target only has stuff in stock and on shelves if you people buy it. So the fact that you saw it, say, I met the people.
What in the hell? That's so weird. Oh, man. Anyways, that was a tangent.
No, it's okay. We do that on the show.
Okay, so each thing is food themed. He's got so much eggnog in his brain. He's just so hungry, but he doesn't have a mouth. He can't eat. So he just wants to spread the joy to everybody else.
What if that's the thing, is that he can't eat, and so that's what he's constantly trying to create, but he can't? Yes,
because they, like, consume the little tadpoles that go in your eyeballs, and they consume your brain, and they take over, so that's all he wants, is he just wants to... Also, he has no mind flayers anymore. He's, like, he's old and tired, and he's like, ugh, they all died.
Yeah, you could have it be that this is his way of, like, because, for my understanding of an elder brain, it's kind of hive-mindy, right? They kind of share experiences of the mind flayers.
Yeah, they correct? Control them, basically.
So you'd be able to see what they taste.
Yeah, exactly. You could have that extra flavor, finally. Mm. No, it's still got to be Krampus, because there's no, like, mean Santas.
Yeah,
unless that's you count true. Santa's sleigh, where Santa's the son of
brain Krampus.
Okay, so, like, completely out of left field, what if this is, like, Guy Fieri, who is trying to take over the world to eat everything across all planes of existence?
Oh my God.
So he's making this huge mind flare army just so he can taste stuff from different, like, locations.
The name of the dungeon is Flavor Town.
Yeah, exactly.
I was about to say.
Oh my God. That's so dumb.
I know. There's got to be the hair on top.
On top of the brain.
But it's not
hair. It's Guy Fieri. So it's like a flare. So a Guy Fieri.
Oh my God.
I like that.
The hair is coming off the top of it, but it's like, it's just like mold that's like grown there, but it's like, it's got eggnog on the tip. So it's like, frosted. Or it's just frosting. Actually frosted.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so that's the final boss.
This makes it such a tragic... Yeah,
that's like the final boss there is like the hands and the brain and all that. And he's just throwing these presents at you. He's like, ah, no, my evil plans. Sorry, what are you going
to
say?
But yeah, it would make it so much more tragic if it's just about this guy who's like, I used to be able to taste the world. Now I taste nothing. And that's all he wants is taste.
Oh man, that's great. And then he, whenever it's his turn, or he takes like a legendary action or something, he's like, diners, drive-ins, and dives. He could have layered actions.
This should be like his different special moves.
Yeah, but Elder Brains do have layered actions.
Yeah, they already do, but I mean, this one's this one's different.
This one's fun. You have a car come in.
That's the drive-in?
Yeah, that's the drive-in part.
he needs something that would be delivering these gifts. So you have to have a slave.
That's true.
It's the Nautiloids. You know, the Mind Flayer ships, but they're empty. He's just controlling them. And so and when he gets really desperate, they come through the walls.
Well, we could probably do like reindeer still if we want to go Christmas theme, try to figure out monsters to do for like reindeer.
Okay. Yeah.
Reindeer. Nightmares.
I don't want to think about an aberrational reindeer. Oh.
Nightmares.
Yeah, like instead of antlers, it has tentacles.
Yeah.
I mean, it could just be reindeer. Yeah. it could just be reindeer that took over their brains.
Giant reindeer. D&D gives us the power to make things giant. We're giant enough to reindeer.
You can use the giant elk.
As a stat block, yeah.
Could you imagine though? I love the giant elk with like the tentacles, and then like one of them has like this deep red nose that shoots lasers out of it.
No, it's gotta be like an. You gotta have like an eye on the nose instead of.
Yes, my God, aberration.
It's mind flayers. Mind flayers are the ones that are pulling the sleigh.
Oh,
mind flare reindeer.
Oh no! What did he do to them? Why did they have extra legs? Oh, they're like Mind Flayer centaurs, but it's reindeer. Oh, well, there you go. You know, you just be like, there's a brain in eggnog and also these abominations.
how would your party players find out about this quest or find out about this?
There's got to be some eggs that were delivered.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Like he'd sent out a few test ones. And so they find them. They're like, what are these? And they're like, Flavor Town. Where's that? And then they go to
it. They want to go Christmas.
Yeah. And they see. Then they find out that like some kobolds delivered them because he doesn't have the reindeer ready. So they follow the kobolds and that leads them over to like this cave network. And there's these conveyor belt rope things. And they're like, all right, let's grab on.
They could do that. They could, if you wanted to go with the Krampus Christmassy one, you could have it be that it's just coal delivered and a threat of like, your gift is coming soon.
No.
And it's like, oh, nobody knows what that means, but you get that that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, exactly. Like it could be they, maybe there's like a town or a city nearby and they've been pervaded by this elder brain for a long time. And they're like, he's festive. We don't know what's happening.
He completely changed. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Like maybe that's why he doesn't have mind flayers. Maybe he's in his brain and he's over here in like this in this deep cave or something. I don't know. And that's just where I imagine elder brains to be because that's where my brain goes. But. Like, he was once a problem to, like, the city, and then other adventurers took care of all the mind flayers, but they forgot to get rid of the brain.
Or they're the ones who poured the eggnog in.
Yeah, they poured eggnog in his thing.
Absolutely what a party would do.
Yeah. They thought it would kill him, but it just made him stronger.
He just got drunk off of the eggnog, so now he's...
That's exactly it.
He's perma drunk now, and that's why he came up with this like crazy scheme. He's like, I'm gonna send out eggs everywhere
because he's in eggnog.
Make my players evolve.
Yes, because he's in eggnog.
Oh my god! It all connects.
You know what's funny is you have the eggs for the eggs, but you also have the nog for noggin, and he's a brain.
He's the eggnog.
Wait. What if he's got good intentions? Then what if he's like, this eggnog's so good, I have to share it with the world, and that's why he's getting these eggs?
There you go. That's his master scheme. Yes, exactly it. Oh my god, that's so good. So, what's like the entrance to this place? Like, how do you get into it, do you think?
I kind of picture it as like Santa's workshop.
Okay.
Where like, kind of like, I don't know if it's like an abandoned building, but very much like maybe built into a mountain. It's this grand like factory and he's had it like perfectly landscaped. So it's very inviting. So it's like, come on, come look at the workshop where this is where Santa Claus is or whatever you want to call him. And everyone's like going to the town's like, yeah, this guy just changed overnight. He was like super, like, this used to be a dark, gloomy castle, and now look at it. It's great. You see one of the villagers drinking, like, the eggnog. They're like, yeah, it's, like, great. It's, like, this free stuff, and, like, you have, like, if, like the elves or the kobolds are like, welcome to our town. Do a little song number.
Yeah. And you're like, are those kobolds looking, trying to look like elves? Like, that's weird.
They're wearing actual elf ears.
Yeah. And then the party, like, probably gets suspicious or something, and then they probably try to investigate, and then they find, like, the factory portion, and then they're like, oh, yeah.
The town that's nearby has probably already been mind controlled. So while they're all being festive and happy, they're also like, you should have one of these cookies that's an egg.
Mm-hmm.
I love the forcefulness of this, like, the idea now of this brain being less malicious and more being like, I'm going to spread holiday cheer by force.
Yes. Like,
everyone's gonna be happy once they drink this nog and have an egg.
Yeah, they're just like, wait, you're not evil at all. He's like, no, I'm just really festive. And they're like, oh, well, all right. You still gotta stop, but I mean...
You're right. Here, just one glass of the nog on me, because you guys were great. You truly changed me around.
Just press your cup right on me.
In his brain jar, there's a spigot at the bottom. He pushes it, and it comes out, and party's like, ooh. Oh, that's gross. Yeah. Oh, okay, so there's like a song and dance and a little entranceway, and then the party's gonna be like, these are kobolds. What are we doing here? This is like super creepy and stuff. They'll probably look around, and like any door, back door they go into, like, leads to like the beginning of this conveyor belt. And immediately as they step in, they just start levitating and they have to grab onto the conveyor belt. And they're like, why are we levitating? This is weird. And then as soon as they keep going, they open up to these huge rooms. And the first one's like lava, but there's like, I don't know. It's like factory belts and conveyor things of like chili powder everywhere. There's like fire, lava children spreading fire all over the place. And then there's the eggs in the middle, and they hatch, and they have like little nautiloids in them or something. And it's like, ew, that's gross. We gotta stop those. But then there's the main door, and the only way they can get to the main door to where Mr. Eggnog is if they get all the keys from the previous rooms. It's like a Zelda dungeon. It's like, yeah, you gotta go get all the keys. You gotta come back and you can open the big door.
But all the keys are ornaments.
I love Zelda Dutch.
All the keys, well, the are keys ornaments. Are
ornaments, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And there's just like a really bad tree painted on the door.
You know, I like how there was no Christmas in this at all, but we just put it in there. We were just like, ah.
It's going to be even more wild when it's like not December when we release this.
Like, wow, they're really hooked on that Christmas thing, huh?
They're really going for that Christmas theme. Could have used this a few months ago.
Yeah.
For the, if we wanted to, I've been thinking about this because we've all been at a relative's house when it's Christmas and it's real cold outside. So they think they need to crank it up to like 90 inside. So that's the heat. And then you have the cold of outside. You got the acid, which could be like, I don't know, figgy pudding or something. I haven't eaten figgy pudding. I don't know what it tastes like. So you just have a,
gross food.
Yeah, or you could have a room full of puddings and that be what's everywhere.
The acid is the heartburn that you get from eating all of the pudding in the acid room. Kind of like the Grinch.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's man. Great.
God.
What was the fourth one? We had three. What
I don't think we ever talked about the fourth one. I think we just talked about acid, cold, and fire.
Yeah, well, I mean...
It could be lightning, you know, maybe.
Yeah, then you have Christmas lights everywhere. It's blinding.
Oh, it's Christmas lights, yes! And they're all, like, short-circuiting. Oh, man, that's great. Oh, that's perfect. That's awesome. It could also be, the acid one could also be poison if you really wanted to. Rotten figgy pudding.
Nobody poisons during Christmas. It's only during Halloween. Check true. Your candy or whatever.
Poison is also like the worst twice. Damage type ever. Like half, 90% of anything in D&D is immune to it.
There's gotta be
it's
a,
cool. It's just, you know, nothing takes it.
A necrotic room that's just black licorice.
Ooh.
Oh.
Mm. Or it's... My mind died.
I just thought my computer froze, and I was like, no!
Or it could be, I literally said that, and my head just went, bum, 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 just like window shut down. I just, oh, man. I was like, I could have swore there was something semi-necrotic related to Christmas. Maybe not. It's a pretty cheery holiday.
There is, I have found, in Shadowfell, there is like a, you roll to see if there's like a hopelessness that you can get, and that makes it harder to do things, so you could just have that be in there.
It's coal!
Yes.
And that's what powers the fire room! Something like that. It's just sadness. You just go in.
It's just sad.
It's the mind flayer
sadness.
It could
be psychic damage, too.
It's
of
Christmas,
just did you just
depression.
Keep getting hear the voices of, like, people on the naughty list? And if you're a DM, you just grab your random, like, list, your random NPC name list, and you just start reading people's names off. So then, like...
They have to make wisdom saves.
Yeah.
And they're like, no!
You'll have that one player who takes notes, and they're like, I wrote down John Smith, he's gotta be important. And he's like, nah, he's just on the naughty list.
That's great. Yeah, that works. And then if you touch any of the walls, you just...
cry.
You just take necrotic damage. I don't know. You just die.
You could have your, like, parties,
sometimes,
like,
sometimes DMing is hard. You just die.
Yeah. Guys, I don't know how much damage you take. You're just dead, okay? Just deal with it. All right?
I told you not to touch it. I literally said, don't touch this wall. And you did.
I know that would be one of my players, though. They touch every wall. They just be like, well, maybe this one's different. And it's like, they're all gonna hurt you.
I definitely do have a player who would be like, all right, guys, we didn't touch the first wall. We're good. This one we can touch. I know we can touch it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you have a strong sense that touching this wall would be a very bad idea. I'm going to
exactly.
Touch
it. Won't do much. Exactly. Okay, so, like, does this, is there, like, any treasure they get at the end of this? Like, does Eggnog have it's a hoard? Like, I don't think he would, but I mean.
I want to say, like, a bunch of Christmas gifts. But
it's like actual. Oh, what if he like they're all wrapped and addressed to each player?
Yes.
Yes.
They feel bad if they kill him. They're like, oh no.
And they open it up and it's just more mind flayers.
Well, I mean, if you want to keep this going a little bit longer after, you could have like cool weapons, you know, find out what your players are looking for and have like the tadpole like inside that weapon. So like say if like there's like a prick or something in like a sword hilt. And if they ever fail, like just have them randomly do a random dexterity check. And if they fail, like they grab onto
that'd
it and
be
they get
so
infused.
Awesome. Like you, the fighter gets like a +2 longsword. And then like, they're like, oh, I actually wanted this. And then like games later, they're like, there's a tadpole in this. They have to go back and check all of them.
Yeah. And then like you find out like one of the players like activated there. So now you're like, oh God, did he get? Oh, Jesus Christ.
That's awesome.
No, it was Santa.
Santa gives everyone what they want.
That's also great. Have whatever generates this levitate field be like a magic item that Eggnog has.
Yes.
So that could just be something they have. Although that would probably destroy the rest of your campaign.
Yeah. Well, it could be limited. It could be like a bracelet and you put it on and it casts levitate on you once per day. So it's just like, it's a memento, but it's not that powerful.
It can take, like, a certain amount of brain energy, so, like, Elder Brain can do this all day.
It needs Nog.
You can only do it for, like, five minutes.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Yeah.
It's powered by Eggnog.
If you pour Eggnog on it, it gets stronger.
No, it's powered by your brain on Eggnog. You have to constantly drink.
Maybe that's how they save the town, too. Like, if everybody bathes in Eggnog, the tadpole will leave their heads. Then they find that out. And they have to get like gallons and gallons of eggnog. And everybody's sick of eggnog by the time the campaign's over.
If it was an adventuring group that took care of these, maybe this town already produces eggnog. Like, that's what they're famous for. And they just tapped, like, a well and drowned the Elder Brain with it.
That's perfect. They're like, this'll kill them.
Little did they know.
Yeah, so the players show up at this town, and everybody here is, like, really weird and friendly, and they're just like, oh, we're the eggnog town. Do you want to have a gift? And then they open them up, and there's just, like, these tadpole eggs, and the players are like, whoa, where did you get these? And they're like, oh, they were sent over by the eggnog. And they're like, oh, where's that at? And he's like, oh, we'll lead you over. And they lead you over to like the little hut, the house, and they're like, was this always an elf tinkering place? And they're like, no, it got renovated for the holidays. So they go in and there's like a dance number, and then they investigate and find everything. I love the idea of like writing up a whole kobold like they go into like a theater and sit down, and they come out on stage and they do like a bunch of Christmas songs.
It reminds me of like the Shrek thing when they first enter the town.
Yeah,
it's exactly it. And then they it'll be a fun adventure for the DM to find out how much kobold musical the players will sit through before they get tired. Like, it's been an hour already, and they're like, oh my god, how long is this? Is there an intermission? And then they eventually start investigating.
They're like, I have to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Can I get up and go?
That's the first test of your Christmas cheer. Yeah,
I think it can be a mystery, too. Like, your players can try to figure it out. And eventually, all players get antsy. Eventually, they'll want to find out what's going on here. So if you just give them hours and hours of Kobold musical, they'll eventually go to the bathroom and try to figure out what's going on. And then find a factory and be like, oh, this is the way to go. We should go this way.
Maybe they even, like, put the eggs in their snacks and stuff. They're like, oh, welcome to our refreshment bar. Would you like a drink or some popcorn or...
Or this egg, which contains... Like, oh, I don't want that.
No.
No thanks.
Oh, I think you go on a factory tour, you know? They're like, the villagers like, oh yeah, come to the factory tour. It's great. We love it here.
All the kobolds sound like that. They all talk like that. Hello. Welcome to the factory.
I'm Clinkle Toes. Welcome. I take you on tour now. Here's a complimentary fruit basket.
They're wearing elf masks, but the mouths don't move. The players are like, what is this?
One takes off his mask. Yeah, it's the uniform for the holidays. And he puts it back down.
If they get any kobold, if they calm emotions, if they dispel magic, any kobold, they're just like, oh my god, help us, please.
Yeah, the accent drops and you're like, please, get me out of here.
We've been rehearsing for days. My feet hurt.
We only eat eggnog.
Just have it be like Disneyland people, and they're just like, I'm gonna take my 10-minute break now. I gotta go. Like, it's not even like they warned you of anything. They're just like, oh, thank god, I can take my break. Thank you. Oh.
Thank you so much. There's a brain in there sending eggnog. You should go deal with that.
Yeah, you see that door back there that says do not enter, employees only? Right through that door. Just right through that door, please.
It says cast members only.
Yeah, it says elves only.
It said kobolds, but they scratched it out and wrote elves above it. So it says elves only. And they're like, you can see it scratched out. It says, you used to say kobolds. They're like,
Yeah, someone rolls. Can I investigate? You're like, yeah, you see a door. It says elves oldly. And you're like, what? Oh, if you look more closely, you see like there's a huge X across kobold. But, as you know, they're not very good at it. So it's like elves old.
Yep. Oh, man, that's great. Oh, that's perfect. Man,
this is great.
So that's a mess. But I mean...
That's our show, but Jacob. Can, just for the record,
you could use it.
This mess is our show.
I would totally run that, though. That's the kind of weird stuff I would throw at my players. Because, like, what I love doing with my players is just kind of being like, this is what you think it is. Like, I like to do the tropes, and then I just like to kind of spin and give them something else. So, like, you know, they'll go to a place, and then it's just, like, 180. Like, it's something else. It's not what you expected. And they're like, what's going on here? There's eggnog and elves. And I'm like, Yeah. Also, it's called Flavor Town because Guy Fieri, you know.
Guy Fieri eggnog Santa or Krampus has been one of the weirdest creations we've made on the show.
Players are going to be like, Jacob, what is this? And they're like, I don't know. drank too much eggnog one night. I came up with this idea. Oh, man, that's great.
I think we're ready to move into the next segment, which is our recap and synopsis. Jacob, you're more than welcome to take over either one of these once I describe what they are.
Okay.
Recap, we just kind of go over the gist of what we've come up with over this discussion. Synopsis is we'll zoom in and you'll kind of describe a scene as you would to your players if they were encountering it for the first time. We do the synopsis second, just so that you have a little more time to come up with it. Would you like to do either of these?
Yeah, I could do both.
Ooh, okay. All right.
Okay, so obviously, I've said it a couple times because I'm going through the motion of my head to see if there's anything else that needs to be added. Clearly not. So what we came up with is a town that is very festive, and everybody here is mind controlled by eggnog, and eggs with nogs in them, like brain tadpoles. So little play on words there. Players enter this town, and they will be very confused about what's going on here. Everybody acts very strange, and they'll be led to the workshop outside of town, where there are kobolds who are acting as elves, who will probably give a dance number that the players will go through and find very strange. And if they do any kind of investigating, like on a door that says kobolds only, but it actually says elves only because it's crossed out, they will find this very strange factory where ropes and conveyor belts are running along the walls and in the center. And as soon as they step into this area, they find themselves floating. So as if the levitate spell is casted on them. So they'll make their way down these conveyor belts, and each conveyor belt will lead to a different room of their choosing. They can kind of, there's like, it's like crossway conveyor belts kind of going into different rooms with different doors. And each of these four, there's five doors, a big one and then two small ones. And each of these doors leads to a different type of flavor town. One of them is flame. One of them is acid. Another one is cold, and another one is necrotic. And each one of them, all the walls are covered in this type of element. And if the players touch them, they'll take a certain amount of damage. But as they go in, they find out that all of these eggs are being created here. And there's fire ones, there's cold ones, there's necrotic ones, there's acid ones. So they got to destroy all of them and then gather all the keys to go into the center room. Also, important note, while this is happening, the kobolds are going to come back in and start thunder waving everybody. So there you go. Oh, a little foreshadowing you could do is while they're watching the kobold musical, they could be using Thunderwave to like make sounds or like blast each other around or things like that. So the players will know that they have that and they can prepare for it.
And they're tap dancing.
Yeah. Yeah. Once they gather all the keys, they go through the main door. And after they go through that main door, they will be led to the big boss room with a giant brain, an elder brain in a vat of eggnog, who has two arcane hands that it will use to toss eggs and gifts at the players. And really, they can probably just appease this eggnog if they just tell him, oh, hey, you just want to celebrate Christmas? Well, that's okay. You just can't be so violent about it. And he'll be like, okay. And everybody lived happily ever after. They'll get some gifts addressed to them, which all, unfortunately, have tadpoles in them. So that's the synopsis of what we just created. Yeah. And then, and then the second one was a scene, a what?
A synopsis is what we call it.
A synopsis.
Yeah. So if you're DMing it, pick one scene you'd like to describe to our listeners / your players.
Okay.
So like if it's the end boss battle or if it's like just as you enter into the factory.
Easy. All right. So you take all the keys you've gathered and you put them into the door and they all begin to unlock. And the door slowly opens. And as you step in, you just see darkness before you. But this room is massive. Your footsteps echo beyond the distant walls. And something catches your breath as you sniff in cloves and milk. Suddenly, the room lights up. And in the center of this large warehouse-looking room is a vat of yellow liquid. And coming out from behind of it are these two gigantic blue and purple hands that reach down to a pile of gifts covered in the corners. And each one of them, as the hand picks them up and pops off the top of them, a little egg rolls out and it hatches. And you see a little tadpole squiggling on the ground, like the ones you've seen before in the previous rooms. All of them covered in frosting and sprinkles of frost, sprinkles of figgy pudding, sprinkles of depression, chili flakes. And it looks down, and you notice a very strange thing at the bottom of this giant vat of yellow, what you could assume to be eggnog, gallons and gallons. There's a spigot at the bottom, but you swear you see it moving and shifting as if something is sitting inside of it. And as you look closer, you hear a slight thud, and at the front of the glass jar, you see a brain has hit the front of it. And at this point, everybody goes, "Oh, girl, oh, what the hell?" Oh. And then that's when you roll initiative.
Beautiful.
This is going to be God, I can't wait for this one to come out.
this is excellent.
So weird.
It's what we do. I remember there was a point where we were just like, do we ever make a normal show? Like, is it ever just classic D&D?
Nah. How about eggnog brain? That's great. That's fun.
Well, that was great. Thanks for coming on our show. Jacob, if you want to remind everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on YouTube, XP to level 3. You can find me on Twitter, at XP to level 3. And you can, if you want to watch me live stream some D&D and play other stuff, you can check me out on Arcane Arcade on YouTube as well, and on Twitch. So that's where I do all my stuff. Oh, I also have a Patreon where I upload stuff like this, where it's just like packs of homebrew things. And so if you want any of my weird writing, you can go there as well. But this was amazing, guys. This is so much fun. Holy crap. This is ridiculous. I got to run this for my players sometimes. I bet they're going to be so confused, and I'm just going to link them to this and just be like, we made it.
It's fun. Tell your friends. Yes. Tell people. Yeah.
If you're watching this, go tell your friends about this and be like, look, this is a tool. It's a surprise tool. It'll help us later.
I'm Sam. I rolled for your scenarios today. You can find me at DM Mambo 5, or for the podcast I run at bip.dnd for Bardic Inspiration Podcast.
I'm David. I was here for this. You can find me at Daedra18 on Twitter. That is DAEDRA18.
And I'm Malcolm, and I basically have the same sign off. I was here for this. I'm one of the hosts for this. I thank you all for listening, and hope you all had a very merry December, February, January, whenever this comes out. Good night.
Oh wait, Malcolm, do the show's Twitter. The show's Twitter.
Oh yes. We're at FitGDND on Twitter, and please send us themes and scenarios and fun questions to throw at us in the beginning, because we like to have different talking points and we think it's fun to have something before we dive directly into the action. Totally. So
Obtuse Audio.